person has to have one masech that he knows inside out.
That is the Shabbos.
If you open in Chofetz Chaim, in Shem Oy, Teres HaBayis, he brings down that there's a certain person that he always learned Masech Chagiga. You know the Maisa? It's brought down in Chofetz Chaim, B'Shem the... You know the Maisa?
The woman came and said he died.
That's right. He was in the middle of the desert somewhere, and people didn't know that he died. And then this woman came around, she told everybody Big Tzadik died, and she got a bunch of people to come, they made a levaya, and she disappeared. And the Medrash said that that was the malach from the Masechta Chagiga. For the fact that he learned this Masechta, so he had a malach that protected over him. What do you think? The interesting thing, I said this last night, we made a Sima Shas. Yeah. I don't think every. How can you weren't invited? I wasn't the one invited. I was a guest myself. I learned every night with a guy in Rechavi, Balbos. And he's a talent of mine also from once upon a time. And we learned the Daf Yomi, we finished. But his father was saying, Shiv and Shleishness, he waited till his father shows. He made the same last night. it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Yisrael, and Yisrael told him, it's a very funny lashon, it's very hard to understand. Heavy mula omaze. You have chumash over there? Stone chumash. Typical English chumash. Possibly the lotion is a very interesting lotion. Shmois Yisrael. Here. At the Shema Bakoili, Yisrael tells his son Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yehi elikim imoch, God will be with you. What should you do to God with you? Heye atalom mul halikim. What's this? Heye atalom mul halikim. So Rashi says, be a melech. You'll be like the representative of Am Yisrael for the Bnei Hashem. If you look in the Mechilton, the Medrash Mechilton says no. Heye atalom mul halikim. You should be like a kli moli diburim. What's a kli moli diburim? It sounds like, you know what a phonograph is. You guys remember such things? You guys know what MP3 is, right? They call it a Nagan. And before that, you had disc records. Before that, you had diskettes. Before they had record players, called a phonograph. You ever see what a record player was? Do you guys, it sounds like something antique, but I remember the good old days. You take a record, put it on there, fix the needle would run out. And before that, there's pictures. This is already from my times. We had a record player that looked like a Schaefer on top. You ever see that? Once upon a time. But the Medrash says Mechilton. We're talking about way before Matan Torah. The Medrash says, you're going to be like a Kli Moli Diburim. What's a Kli Moli Diburim? They had record players those days. What's the Kli that's full of words? Sounds like they knew already then. You know, if you tell someone that, as a point of reference, be like this. Well, what's like this? If they don't know what it is, then they can't tell them, be like this. So they already had a concept that there's going to be one day a Musig of a phonograph, a record player, a disc. And it happened many thousands of years later. But they already knew then, which is remarkable. When did the Rabbi Hashem introduce Lamaisa, so-called phonograph? You guys look at it as something antique, but when did this thing come into, that we have something you can look, you can record a voice? So the Chofetz Chaim, you have to go looking for it. The Chofetz Chaim is a sefer called Shem Oilam. In the back of the sefer, he's got Chasimus HaSefer. What's it called in English? Epilogue? The end of this book? Epilogue. Epilogy is pronounced? Okay. I know my pronoun very well if I pronounce words wrong, but I don't know, that bad. Okay, like catalog, epilogue, L-O-U-G. I know. Maisan, Chofetz Chaim writes this some amazing things. He says that once upon a time, everybody believed, they had a muna pshuta, that the Rebbe Hashem knows everything that's going on in the world. The Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Hei, that magid lo'odem asichoy, when a person after 120 goes up, the Rebbe Hashem tells everything, what he spoke to his wife, what he spoke to his kids, what he spoke to Lashna. Everything is there. So people believe it. But he says today, we're talking like 100 some years ago, today people don't believe it anymore. A lot of people, they don't believe in these things. What does the Baruch Hashem know what I saw? So the Baruch Hashem made a nest that people, that usually don't know these things, people created what's called a record player. And now you see a person thinks, if when I say something, like what's going on, it's a person died 20 years ago, and you hear exactly what he's saying as if it happened yesterday, the same pronunciation, the same voice, everything he said was like, you hear exactly what he says. So the person thinks, if we can make something like that, so certainly Rebbe Hashem that created us and created the world, he for sure can make it. And people say, yeah, maybe it is Taka Trum. Rebbe Hashem does have recordings.
I just by phones.
And he says also over there about telephones. He talks about a telephone. He says, today we can talk from one place to another. Why? Because people think that the Rebbe Hashem doesn't hear what's going on. I say, Lashon Hara, about this guy, the Rebbe Hashem is going on. But if you see that you have a musik, a telephone, that one person can talk to the other guy at the end of the world, that means the Baruch Shemim is up in heaven, he hears you. If he can create you and you create a telephone, it's Mustafa, he knows these things also. And the same thing with a telescope. So it says that there's all different stars and what? Well, hundreds and thousands of stars, who believes? A bunch of baloney. I don't see it, it's not there. The Baruch Shemim gives you a telescope, you see, wow, all these things are there. So all these modern day inventions, it's not that people became so intelligent they made the new technology. The Baruch Shem introduced this so people should start realizing how stupid it is not to have a moon that such things exist. Very interesting musig that he writes over there. Anyway, this was done Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, medical emergencies. So it's brought down that every doctor, nurse, anyone's Isaac or fool has got to know these halachas. Because it comes to the Maisa, you have to know what to do. You can't go looking up in a book what the proper thing to do is. Somebody came up with a book of a sefer a few years ago, about 15 years ago, Teres Hayaledis. It's a whole sefer of what if a woman has to give birth, what the guy should do. And he goes through each thing, like step by step, what's the priority? Because we try to minimize the Shabbos. So he got into some ridiculous combinations. A person has to take his wife to give birth. What's the best way to take her? So he starts saying, you say car. Yeah, it sounds a bit better. You wouldn't take her on a horse. I mean, with a car, you turn the engine doing a deraisa. Does that mean you can take on a horse? Don't think a woman has to give birth is going to like going on a horse. It's not going to be too exciting. Well, he goes down to it. Maybe we should take her in a wagon. Maybe we should take her in a wheelbarrow. Maybe we should take her on a bicycle. It's almost ridiculous. It's a sefer. What's amazing about that sefer is that it's written by a rabbi and by a doctor. Dr. Rothschild, who recently passed away. He was the doctor, the head of Mayane Yeshua Hospital in Bnei Brak. And by Yitzchak Zilberstein, who was a rov, the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv. When you put together a rabbi and a doctor, you're trying to make a sefer. It's like a climb. It's weird. And all these different ways how to get there, then he has to figure out when you have to call up, what's the best to do? Should it better do it two hands? Better have a guy hold a double? All these different things. So Moshe Sternbuch wrote him a letter, which they printed. They printed a letter, and he said that if a person is going to start making all these chishudim, all these chishboinis, what's the best way, what's the least iser, then the woman's going to have the kid in the house, you know, the living room. She's never going to get anywhere. It's not shakonis nefoshes. So he said that it's not kedai to go through these different things. A person wants to learn stamas bebakasha, but he says it's not kedai to think of all these impossibilities. Can you imagine guys think, should I take her with a bicycle? Maybe I should take her with a wheelbarrow? Could she make it? By the time he makes a move, you know, she's going to have it in his living room. So.
Did he get a stamas
for
the
same thing? He probably did. And he is the son of the Rav Yashiv, so he gets some places.
If you know the sefer well enough, it can't, it's not possible to work.
Huh?
If you know the sefer well enough, prepare your wheelbarrow.
I would highly recommend you don't take your wife with a wheelbarrow to the hospital. It's not going to work. I've already gone 4 times I went to a hospital on Shabbos. Two for my kids being born on Shabbos, one for an anical. My daughter came to eat on Shabbos, and in the middle she said she has to give birth. What am I supposed to do? So I drove her there. And one time I took my kid, he opened his head. And that got printed into a book, what's it called, from Muncie to Kiryat Sefer. He's in my class, and I made a book, and he wrote that story also.
The music story about it.
Yeah, he printed a whole story about it. But I would not recommend going with a wheelbarrow. I think it's crazy, just the idea. And I think it's a terrible mistake to print that on a Sefer. Because there's always going to be some crackpot that's going to, you know, think these things out. You see a guy pushing a wheelbarrow with his wife, you'll say, was it? Oh, my wife is going to give birth. Wild idea. So it's good to learn these. I gave, when I was in Eishel Torah, I used to give a shiur for someone, like if their wife had to give birth the next few days, and he was nervous, what's going to happen on Shabbos? Like in 10, 15 minutes, I told him like all different hechatims and the possibilities that you can encounter on Shabbos. You have to drive a car. I think we discussed this, right? You go with the car, what you can do, what you can't do. We did these things. Also, there are a lot of interesting situations. What do you do when a kid gets stuck in a bathroom, can't get out? Brought down a locha, that's considered pikuch nefesh. Because the kid is a pachet, he's scared. So what can you do? So you can huff and puff and blow the door down, it doesn't exactly work. You can kick the door down, you can smash the door. Derech kilkul. If you break the door, it's derech kilkul, it's a rabbonin. You can do that because it's considered pikuch nefesh. And if you can't get him out, you can call the fire department also to release it. Or locksmith, anything. It's considered pikuch nefesh. And that's something people don't know. Or an older person. Has to go to the hospital and needs someone with her. Any person. A person that's not well. A person literally had a heart attack. A person fainted. He wants someone to come along. You got to go along.
Using a phone if they're abundant or deraisa.
When you're calling on the telephone, you're going to be doing a deraisa. Because when you pick up the phone, you're making different circuits work. When you put it down, you're turning off the circuits. As a matter of fact, if you finish speaking on the phone, you're not supposed to put the phone back on the hook. because now you're turning it off. Now, if you're a doctor or a hospital, what?
My smartphones, like iPhones.
Smartphone, if you stop talking, it depends who's at the other end. If he's going to disconnect the conversation, it'll end by you also. If they're both from people, I suppose they can leave the phone open. But the idea is that you're supposed to get off the conversation and not turn off the phone. But if it's a phone that has to be used, for instance, it's the phone at the doctor's office, there's a phone by a nurse, there's a phone by a hospital, where the phone has to be used, so because of pikuach nefesh, I return the phone to the hook. And my shver used to be a big moil, and he had a psak from Valyashev. I remember this one, maybe 30 years ago. Sometimes you make a bris on Shabbos, and therefore the kid bleeds. That happens, that's a sakon, you have to go back to the kid. But you don't know always who's going to be, you know, making the phone call. Rabbi Yashav told him, and he was a big well, so he had a lot of brisim every day. So Rabbi Yashav said, since there's a good chance that someone's going to be calling up, you're allowed to pick up the phone. It might be, you know, someone's making a poll to find out if you're voting for Netanyahu or for Trump or something. It might be, it's a mistake, but you're allowed to pick up the phone on the tzad that it might be because they're brisim, and because of that, you're also allowed to put back the phone. But this is a kona. But again?
But for me to call you to make a bris.
No, not to make a bris. They're going to call you because the kid, well, you made a bris, let's say, 3 hours ago in the morning, and the kid's bleeding. And Moyle knows how to fix it up. I tell him what to do. And he asked, could he pick up any phone? He said, yes. But he said, he had my shver then had little kids that weren't yet bar mitzvah. He had two little daughters. He told them, take two people, preferably ketanim, girls around the 12, and they should pick up the phone together. So you're doing two shneim shosu is a rei rabbanon, two people do together one rabbanon. The fact that it's a cotton makes it even less. You try to minimize the isser. Now later on, these kids grew up and they didn't have tanim, so then it's mutter to pick it up you yourself also. But he considered that pikuach nefesh and that answer phone. And sometimes these things are very, very disappointing also. I remember one time my shver got a phone call and he picked it up. I don't know if he did have little kids and didn't pick up. It was his Talmud from South Africa, and that guy made the wrong cheshun, the hour difference between Africa and Israel. So he called up to say hello to his former Rebbe, my father-in-law. It was Milo Shabbos. Now what do? He picked up the phone. Now what do? That's a mess. So, first of all, you can scream at the guy. Kolzman, you're on the phone, you're not doing an Israel, you know that? Nothing's happening. You're not, it's not like you're speaking on a microphone, you're activating something. You're not doing anything wrong.
If you're on the phone before Shabbos, can you go into the Shabbos on the phone?
Yes, you can. I saw in Shmir Shabbos that Shlomo Zalman said, if you're on the phone with a doctor, you can actually say, Shalom, have a nice day. You're not doing any more Isser by talking on the phone.
It's like when a TV's out in the room, you can watch the TV, but it's not Shabbos day.
So. There's no Isser of watching TV on Shabbos.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Shabbos day.
No, it's not Shabbos day. It's probably not too smart thing to do that week either. But you're not doing an Isser of Shabbos. Let's say someone left the radio on. You can listen to the radio on Shabbos. In Israel, maybe not. That's the thing. Because here it's being done by Jews.
You're an American, the top radio host, like Jews.
Okay, so if it's a Jewish person, you have a problem. Because it's in the hand of Lechel Shabbos. Huh?
If you left the radio
a few years ago, when they had it was the Gulf War, and each time there was an air raid siren, you thought there was missiles, you had to put the mask on. You guys don't remember these things before. 25 years ago, every time the air raid siren went off, you had to run and put on the stupid gas mask, which turned out afterwards to be stupidity. But everybody had to run and put on the gas masks. And at the time, there was the psak for the Gedolim that you should have the radio on a very low note. So in case there's an air raid siren, you run to radio and you hear what to do. But I remember they pointed out that you can't sit there and hear the news because the people there are all Jews. And they're working on Shabbos. So you bring the hand of Mamash from Lechel Shabbos.
So if you leave the radio on after Shabbos, and as a Jewish host, what do you do? Do you sure you turn it off or you leave it?
1 second. Why do you leave it on Shabbos? You forgot. Okay, you forgot. So if you forgot and it's on a Shabbos, again, you can't listen because you bring the hand from what he's saying. And at the same time, I can't turn it off. If anything, you're allowed to take the radio, which is the klishon not l'isser, put it into a drawer, close the drawer. If you can pick up a shini grip, you don't have to. It's a klishon not l'isser, and it's mutter l'tzarech mekoymai. What does it mean? It's a goofy mean to say I want to hear the news, but I can't. Mekoymai means to say, the simple understanding of mekoymai is that if I want to sit down on this chair and the radio's here, I can move it. So Mazalman brings a raif at the sefta, it also applies in the case where because of what it's doing, I can't sit here. For instance, let's say this fan is on before Shabbos, or went on the clock. I want to sit here. This is my seat. I'm allowed to take that fan and move it, or turn it to a direction, or carry it away. Because of it, it's blowing, I can't sit here. That's also called Tzarech Mekayim. That's a big Chiddush. I'm here, he's there, but since it's making me a technical problem that I can't sit here, it's too cold, I can move it away. That's Shlomo Zalman's Chiddush. The radio over here is not allowing me sleep. Not allowing me sleep, the radio went on. I'm allowed to take the radio in my hand, find the drawer, let's say under my underwear, under my sack, stick it in there, cover it up with a bunch of towels, and I close the drawer. I'll do that.
So if my phone alarm went off once on Shabbos, and I couldn't sleep. It was like, say, 6:30 in Shabbos at 8. I'm allowed to move it under, like...
Go into the mikveh, do shnei mikveh targum, learn the parasha, learn medrash. It's what to do.
Let's say I want to go back to sleep.
Ah, you want to go back to sleep. If you want to go back to sleep...
It's 3 in the morning.
So, you can take your telephone. carry it outside. Put it in the bathroom, put it in the drawer, put a bunch of socks or underwear on top of it, whatever you want.
I think I can carry it as far as I want, as long as it's...
Do you know, technically, I said a few years ago to Shir that I don't see any problem today to take a telephone, cell phone, and to see what time it is. Why not? It's a kli shenach l'iser. A kli shenach l'iser means a kli which is used...
You can't push the button.
No.
It's used for this.
No. So you're going to ask if I can change the channel. No. We're not giving a time for that. A telephone is a kli shenach l'iser. A kli shenach l'iser is mutlat tzar gufa makayim. For instance, a hammer. A hammer is a kli shenach l'iser. Use it for iser. I can use the tzar gufa. What does tzar gufa mean? I want to scratch my back. I can't reach my back without a hammer. I can take it and scratch with a hammer. Tzar makayim is to say, it's right now my standard. I want to learn right now. For one person, take it away. The telephone, I said, is a regular kli shenach l'iser. I want to know what time it is. It's tzar gufa. So I said this to shul. Somebody said, chas v'shom, rabbi matem chilu shavas, whatever. I looked around, I found that the new Shemir Shabbos Lechos, which was printed 4 or 5 years ago, he already brings it down. These halachas didn't exist 40 years ago when he printed the last Madura. The new one, he says, you're allowed to move a telephone, you're allowed to see what time it is. Most telephones today, it's not going to work, because most telephones, they have a screensaver, so you're not going to see the time, they suppress a button.
So, but if I take the phone and move it, it's already out of, I can now use the shender, can I go walk further to move it? Once I pick it up and go like this, it's now not on the shender anymore. I continue walking and walk out the room.
Mr. Brewing is a machlekes on that. The Magen Avraham says once you picked it up, you gotta do whatever you want. Even if you picked it up by Isser. Because the Isser is picking it up.
Yeah, don't put it back down if you picked it up by
Isser. It's according to some Paiskim, Magen Avraham, is once you picked it up, whether it was by Heter or Isser, you keep on going. According to the going, depends what kind of muksa it was. But in this case over here, once you picked it up and you don't want it to bother you, take it as far as you want. Put it in the next guy's room, put it in the bathroom, put it under a pillow, do whatever you want. It's not going
to
turn on unless you press a button. No. Today's telephones.
What if you some screens they have a time?
Okay.
No, but if
so you pick it up and look at it.
If it's an expensive one, you
if you say it's a muksa machas son kiss, which means you wouldn't use for anything, so then it's muksa altogether.
It's smart today, there's no phones which are cheap.
But when you pick up a phone.
What are the phones you use? The ones you don't press a button, you flip open.
And then you can't do that. There's no way you can do it on Shabbos. Those are muksa. That's what I'm saying. Today, most phones, you can't see the time unless you push a button.
You know it's going to start making noise. Not that it did yet, or it is currently. But like, you have a business in America.
Yeah, fast. So you have a switch over there. Right now, it's not on the switch. Use your left hand or do the shina and close it. Uh-huh. I have a problem. What I have in my house, we made a few years ago, we made a merpeset porch. I made one of these electric tris. You know, electric tris is a, what do you call tris in English?
Shade,
it's called a shade, okay? It's like a big one. It's like, the width is like, what, 4 meters, like 12 feet. It's very big. So it's electric. On Shabbos, we usually put it on the middle button and it's not electric. And then you can do it with a crank. Oh, waste of time, but Shabbos. What happens if you forgot to switch before Shabbos? Or one of the brilliant Einik Lechle, one of the grandchildren come and he put the switch up. So now I can't close it, because on the electric switch. So what you do is then, you use your elbow, put down the switch with a shinoi, and then you can do whatever you want. You have to realize, when the electricity is not on, I push down the switch, I'm not doing anything. But nevertheless, it might be muksa, Shlomo Zalman says, do it with your elbow.
So if you were to flip it, the screen would like go on.
That's in general. Let's say you have something which is plugged into, an example. You have an air conditioner that's plugged into the wall, and right now the Shabbos clock is off. But in 2 hours, it's going to go on. In the meantime, it started snowing, I thought, I don't need an air conditioner, right? So the problem is, can I take out that plug? Now there's no electricity anywhere. Anyway, there's no electricity right now. But soon the Shabbos clock, it's going to be on. I'm allowed to take it out. Problem, do the shina with your elbow, pull out the plug.
Is that the same thing as a timer?
Is that the same thing as a timer?
The timer, you push down the button.
So, it's a brand new shina. A timer, I don't know what's medical about that shina, but a timer, there are different days in the place.
What are you saying? You want it to be hot?
The what's very commonly done is, this is the Pesach of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that he says, you're allowed to, let's say you have a time clock, and this fan is going to be on from 9 to 11. Right now it's on, it's 10 o'clock. I can push down the buttons that it should stay on. I can't push down the buttons to turn off earlier. And the converse is also true. Let's say it's right now off. It's supposed to go on at 9 o'clock. I can push down the buttons that it should remain off for more hours, but I can't make it go on earlier. That I can't do. What I can do is, let's say I want it to go on earlier. Let's say right now it's off, then it's going to go on and off again. The next time around, I want it to go on earlier. That I can do. If it's going to mean right now, it's going to turn on earlier. That I can't do. But if it's supposed to go off and then back on again, let's say 3 hours from now, I'm allowed to see that it goes on earlier. Those are basically the Pesukim of Rosh Hashanah about a Shabbos clock.
I wouldn't matter if it's going to go on and off. And then you want to make it go off earlier. Or go on earlier, sorry.
Again, right now it's 9 o'clock. If it's on, the easy way to remember is whatever status quo you can extend. If it's on, you can make it stand longer. If it's off, you make it off. You can't make it turn off earlier, and you can't make it turn on earlier. But if it's not for right now, but for the next cycle, like right now it's 9 in the morning, and it's going to go off at 11, right? Then a few hours later, again it goes off, I want it to go on earlier. That I can do. Because it's the next cycle, that's not the grama. That is matter. There are other poiskim like Rav Moshe Feinstein and Mechas Yitzchak, they tie in that the thing is muktzeh altogether. But since it's brought down a Shmir Shabbos that you can do it, most people do it. And you can be
saying mechana. Clarifying, back to the case when my alarm goes off, do I have to use a shina? Is it better, or can I even use my right hand?
You don't have to. If it's a kli, shal nachtel isser, you're allowed to pick it up with your hands.
If it's something that has no use for isser, wouldn't that be muktzeh for Shabbos?
Say again?
It's a kli, isser.
Yeah.
Is that normally muktzeh for Shabbos?
Of course it's muktzeh. A hammer. A hammer is muktzeh. But the question is, look, there's something which is muktzeh altogether, the mushroom money, or a rack, or something like that. That's muktzeh, right? And you can't do anything with it.
Even it's in your seat? You can't.
No. You can do begufay, you can kick it off.
Okay, so what's the difference between that?
Because the phone is a kli. The different levels of muktzeh. It's a kli shlachtel iser. Kli shlachtel iser is muktzeh, but it has two things that are mutter. One is a tzerek gufoy, if I need it. I need the hammer to pick my nose. I don't really need to pick my nose right now. Use the hammer. I can do it. Unless you find something. If you can pick your nose, I don't know what you have right now.
What is your behold with if you're using the bathroom and there's no tissues and you only have toilet paper? Can you rip it with a shina?
What can you do here?
It's
kind of that people don't prepare toilet paper beforehand.
Yeah. So you go to a place and someone
they ran out. Okay, so I'll tell you an interesting etza, but I don't know if you want to do it. You can take the toilet paper, use it without ripping it off. Now, put it into the toilet. You have a long, let's say, a strip. You slept about, like, to put it into the toilet. Flush the toilet. You see, it's going to go like a whole twirl, right? Like a dreidel. And what's going to happen is eventually it's going to tear. It's going to go all down the drain. And you're done. That's like a grommet. If you have no choice, you can do a shinui. The reason being that not having toilet paper is a problem of kavod habrius. And kavod habrius, you're allowed to be over drabonim. So if you do the shinui, you're allowed to do it. But this is better than that, because this is not just a shinui. It's also, it's a grommet. It's not for sure going to happen. It's loshen tzavufa. That's the eitz of brotha, I think.
In Shmir Shabbos, to use a long little feather is not so.
I wouldn't say it's Einik Shabbos, but Einik Shabbos means to say food and drink and clothes. It's not using toilet paper in the diet. Wrong definition.
Is it true that to rip, if you, I guess, need to rip it, to rip it not on the not on like the rip line, but like.
That's not rip line, it's called perforation.
What?
Perforation?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
The line that they have.
The line. The problem with doing it on the line is there's malach al machatech. You cut your. So the best thing. But it's very hard not to hit that line. Yeah. Like they tell you to use your elbows and not the line. You try that. Take your two elbows, go like that. Where's it going to tear? Exactly in the perforation.
I use more.
Unless you want to put your knee. Imagine all this when you have to go to John. You put your knee on the paper and then take two elbows and go like that. Let's see if it works. Like before you make or after, I don't think you can do that, but it's not going to work.
Can you use your forearm?
Can you hallucinate it?
Or like your pinkies. Your pinkies in the middle. It's just like this, bro.
Pinkies in the middle.
Your mouth is like that. Not on the preparation. So
I would say you should prepare before Shabbos and avoid these problems.
Sometimes it just happens that you're eating by someone.
And the someone doesn't have brains that the people might need a bathroom.
Yeah, it's not. It's
okay,
not
so if you have no brain, you do the shinui, because mutter because of kodesh brias. It's not too gishmak. What other medical shas you have?
Pinkies be considered
chinui.
Can you be considered chinui?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
If you what's our
medicine? We said the big problem medicine that it's grinded already. That's why you
grinded. It's called ground in English. Yeah. Would you learn your English? Yeah.
It's ground.
Yeah.
Really well,
it's
grounded.
Grounded, you say electricity. You ground, yeah?
It was in pieces. Okay. A lot of medicine these days, for example, like pills are already. Already, like, smushed in pieces. Or the ones that the tablets already have in pieces. Are those you allowed to use?
No. It's late plug. The place can say, even though today you can get over the counter, there's all different medicines that are ready, they're not going to grind it for you. So, the chashash is much less, but nevertheless, we say late plug. It's not made exer, the exer remains.
Is it like you can't grind it, or is it already grinded?
Ground. I didn't come here to teach English.
But the Maisa,
if they need someone to teach English, they're not going to come to me. The Maisa, the idea is that Chazal made a gzera. If you could say that the purpose of the gzera, that reason is completely not relevant today, then there's what to think about it, saying that it's not also. But it's not the case. It's true that most medicines today are over the counter. When I go to the bathroom, you go to the drugstore, the pharmacy, and you ask for Advil or aspirin, they're not going to start grinding if you with a mortar or a pestle. It's all made, it's all ready. But there are medicines where it is shame. There's certain medicines which they get an order once every week or once every 2 weeks. They're going to make it for you on the spot. So therefore, the gzeir is still there. It's not that it's non-negi altogether. In most cases, it's non-negi, but the gzeir is still there. By the Moshel Gilui, where Chazal said they shouldn't leave juice or water or something like that open at night because a snake might come in there. So the Shulchan Aruch says, today we don't have snakes running around. There's no gzeir's bottle. But over here, the gzeir still could be shaykh. Not as many cases, but it's still shaykh.
Am I allowed to gargle like salt water on Shabbos? Let's say I have
like a cut in my mouth. Do that on Shabbos for sure. If you'll tell me that normal people do that in general, they're not sick, they'll be mutter. Do normal people do that?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. If you want to gargle emotional mouthwash, Listerine is very good to kill germs, they say, right? So if gargling mouthwash is something which healthy people also do. So even though my intention is because I have a canker sore in my mouth, that's fine. But if you're saying sandwich, people don't do, most normal people do not take salt and put it in their mouth. That's a problem with refuah. Tea, the marshal. Let's have a bad cold or a cough. I want to take tea. I'm allowed to take tea. Even though I'm doing it because I want to get a refuah for my sore throat, or it doesn't make a difference because even a healthy person does it also.
So a lot of people take, let's say they want to, like, before they play like, sports or whatever, they take, like, anti-diarrhea stuff. When they go for a walk.
Wow.
I don't know.
You know how to take that on Shabbos. No. You know how to take that on Shabbos.
I should have been you.
I've seen a lot of people play.
Wait, was the recording shot?
Oh, for your stomach?